Well, again, next Sunday, we're having our testimony service. It did occur to me that there might be someone here that does not know or has never seen or experienced a testimony service. I think, you know, that's a fault of a lot of Christians, probably a lot of pastors. We use words, I think, Pastor Ken, that we just expect everybody to know the meaning of, and sometimes you don't. A testimony service is where people will come up front and talk about what God has done in their lives. It may be how they came to know the Lord, how God saved them out of a previous life situation and now they're different. It may be something that just happened very recently. Maybe God is giving you victory over something that you've been praying about, whatever it is. But you share that with the people. Some of you have already indicated you want to do that. And some of you, God's going to speak to your heart next Sunday. And I want you to listen. And I want you to be obedient to Him. You know, we love you. This is not a performance. Nobody's grading how well you spoke. Pastor Dave, I'll cry. Well, I'll be crying probably before you will. So it's okay. And you know, if you want to write down what you want to say, you can come up and read it. That's okay too. Whatever it is that is comfortable for you. But there's power in your testimony. It's an opportunity for you to share with others God's goodness and His grace and His mercy in your life. And you know, we do these for several reasons. We've had several of these in the life of our church. We do this first and foremost to give glory to God. That's the most important thing. Secondly, we do it to encourage one another. Maybe you're dealing with something, you're going, I just don't think this is ever going to change in my life. And yet you hear someone come up and speak, and you realize that God is never late. God is always on time. Now, what's the big problem with that, if I can use that word? It's never our timing, is it? God's never asked me when I wanted something done in my life. I don't know why. I would have been happy to have told Him. But He doesn't, because He knows better. God's timing is always perfect. But someone sharing what God did could be an encouragement to you, for you to keep fighting the good fight. And then thirdly, we do this so that you can reinforce your own commitment to serving God with your life and trusting Him. So last Sunday, we talked about why it is so important to know and to have your testimony ready to share. Now, again, I realize for some of you, this is a very foreign kind of a thing. There used to be days, and I don't know how many of you remember this. I was a part of this in a youth group going up. We would go through neighborhoods and knock on the door. How many of you participated in something like that? Yeah, a number of you. You can't do that today. You just can't. Because the first sound you're going to hear is before even you hear who's there. I mean, it's a whole different world. But that does not mean that we stop having ourselves ready, that we are not prepared to be able to offer what God's done for us, to be able to tell your story. So it's important to be ready, because you were meant to share your testimony, church. You were meant to. And we saw God do it first, because all of creation is God's testimony of His love for us, His creation. He made this world for us to live in because He loved us so much. And you know, Adam and Eve got to be the first recipients of God's first testimony. We're going to get to enjoy that someday. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be able to experience the majesty of His love, a love right now that we could not handle if we were to know the full majesty of God's love. We couldn't handle that. Someday we will, because God testified first to the love that He has for us. He testified again through the course of the history of Israel, time and time again, showing His love. And then, of course, ultimately, He sent His Son Jesus to die for us, to pay the penalties for our sins. But the second reason that it's important to have your testimony ready is because it has impact on the people that hear it. God will work through you, through your story. This is why I'm always telling you, you are ministers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know you get that glazed look, you're going, you're talking to the wrong guy. I can't stand up front and talk. Nobody told you to. I don't have a degree in Bible study and those things. I didn't say you had to have that. All you need to have is the knowledge and the understanding that as God works through you in your life, your story can bring another person to the place where they are ready to give their lives. How many of you sitting here have ever led someone to the Lord? Many of you. I can tell you this, there is no greater feeling kind of minimizes it, and I don't mean to say it's about feelings, but as a person, there is no greater sense of I don't know what the right word is. Just to know that God used you to bring someone to the Lord. The Holy Spirit was working in that person's life, and you were the last one that God had assigned to come and to help lead that person to a confession of faith as a believer in Jesus Christ. But you need to have your story. We said last week that to bring power to your testimony involves a couple of things. Number one, you need to do good in your life. In other words, your body, your actions, the way you live need to match the words that you say. If I come up here and I talk about how great God is to me and how good and my life is surrendered to Him and I want to follow Him with everything that I do, but I go out and I live a life the other 6 days that don't support that, you're hurting your testimony. We need to live the words that we say. We said that we need in our testimony and our story to keep our eyes and our focus on the cross. Too many times when people give testimonies, they come up and they spend 10 minutes talking about all the horrible things of their life in the past, and they spend 30 seconds saying, but God fixed me. We need to focus on Him. The focus is not on who I used to be. The focus is who I am now because of Him. And then finally, we said that we need to live assured and convinced without a shadow of a doubt that I am not the same as I used to be. I am not the same. Again, I shared that with you. I've heard it said something along this line. I'm not who I want to be, but thank God I am no longer who I once was. I am a changed man, a changed woman because of Jesus Christ. And when you are convinced of that, it will give you the boldness to be able to share your story, even though you know I'm still struggling with some things. Because a good testimony doesn't mean you're perfect, church. It never does. But to be ready to share that word. And so this morning, I want to look at, very quickly, four things that we need to guard against to make sure that we are protecting and taking care of our testimony. So if you have your Bibles, I've asked Ryan Buffington to come and to read. Turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. And while you're doing that, again, just a quick review again. Paul is writing to several churches in the region of Galatia. Galatia was not a town like Philippi or Colossae or Corinth. It was a region in Turkey. And there were multiple churches that were meeting. And Paul wrote this letter for them to be able to understand where the origin of the gospel was. He defends the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he gives them instructions on how to live. So Galatians 6 chapter, read the whole thing. Go ahead, Ryan.
Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Not a circumcision, but a new creation. See, large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Mm-hmm. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, brothers. Amen.
Thank you, buddy. There's so much in this chapter that we could look to. But for me, it encourages me, as Paul is saying to them, folks, circumcised, uncircumcised, those things that you are looking at as being so very important, whether you are a part of this group or that group, he said, it's nothing. It's only Jesus. It's only what is happening in your heart. But I can tell you this morning that the enemy does not want you to have a good testimony. Satan loves nothing more than when church leaders fall, when churches split, when there are problems and divisions and issues and all those things. Satan's loving that. Matter of fact, I think Satan thinks, why do they always blame me for this stuff? They got enough issues without me butting in. But, you know, that's what we have to deal with every day. And so I want you to understand this morning, there are some things that you can do to guard your testimony, because I desperately want that for every one of you, to know that you can share that word and it is something that God has continued to do in your life. So the very first thing that can damage your testimony is pride. Pride is the root of virtually every single sin in our lives. It was at the root of the first sin that came, because Eve and Adam were convinced somehow by the serpent that they would be fine without God, that they did not need that, that they could be like him, the epitome of pride. Pride is what created Satan from one of the archangels of heaven as he was leading the worship in heaven, but his pride rose up and he said, I can be like the Most High God. Pride will ruin your reputation. Pride will ruin your testimony. And I'm not saying that our reputation should be the most important thing. There was a ministry, I don't know how long ago that it was, maybe some of you heard of it. It was called No Reputation. Because I honestly don't believe I care that much what people think about me. It's not my reputation. It's my reputation and my desire to want to show him to the people around me. And if I do that, you know, people don't like that. We don't live in a world, they say we do, that we are all inclusive. Everybody gets to say and to do and to be what they want to be. We know that's not true. Because if you testify to the power of Jesus Christ in a school, in a government building, in those kinds of places, you get shut down because of pride, the pride of man. And the scripture speaks to pride very clearly. And it talks about pride as something that, and this is not words that you see together often, something that God hates. God hates a proudful heart. Over 100 times in the scripture, it talks about pride. Proverbs 8:13, it says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I, meaning God, hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. But the way that it can damage your testimony is that pride takes what rightfully belongs to God and brings it to yourself. I say that again. Pride is what takes what is rightfully belonging to God and it brings it to yourself. Paul speaks to this. Ryan just read it. 14th verse. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, unfortunately, even in churches, we see examples of what happens when pride enters in. Any of you ever been to a faith healing service? This is kind of old school a little bit. They don't do this quite as much as they used to. There used to be traveling evangelists who would have healing services, and they would set up these massive tents, and people would come. Unfortunately, it got proven many times that true healing wasn't taking place. There was a prideful spirit of the speaker often who was trying to get people to feel about them the way they should only be feeling about God. And it would be exposed. Much has been made over that over the years, and it gives the world ammunition to come against the church when we allow those things to happen. But there were so many people that came in faith to say, I believe that God can heal me. But there was pride in the ones that were involved. See, God can work through all of those things. But pride does damage to our lives. It hurts us when we allow the ego, when we allow the pride of our lives to come up. People that are involved with pride have a very hard time giving credit to anyone, even God. They don't like to do that. They want to be the ones in the spotlight. They want to be the ones that are being looked at in an admirable way. Let me give you an example in the Bible. In the 12th chapter of Acts, we read about the death of King Herod. Now, Herod was a man that in spite of himself, God used him. But Herod's pride was his downfall. This is Acts chapter 12, verses 19 through 23. It said, then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He'd been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, here it comes, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on the throne and delivered a public address to the people. The people all shouted, this is the voice of a God, not a man. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, the angel of the Lord struck him down. Then it goes on to say he was eaten by worms and died. You see, Herod got all of this praise, and instead of telling them, this is not me, it's God, he accepted the praise to himself. I've shared this with you before. You folks are so gracious. You're so kind to me and supportive. And you say such supportive things to me. It makes me uncomfortable. I'll just be honest with you. It's okay. I just say thank you. Praise God. Because I know what happens when we start to believe the things people say about us. We start to take our eyes off of God to be able to do what it is he's called us to do when we start relying on our own strength. And that's not just confined to preachers. How many times have you found yourself in a situation where you knew God was working through you, but you allow your mind to go to the places of, you know, I really killed that. Nailed it. I don't know where they'd be without me. Boy, you're fortunate that I'm your friend. Can you believe you're married to me? Wow. See, when we allow our minds and our hearts to start down that road, we're going to a place that the scripture says God hates. I don't know about you, and I don't think you have to be a theological scholar to know this is true. I don't want to be somewhere where God is not. I don't want to be doing and be involved in something that the Bible says God does not love. I want to be where he is. Herod accomplished many things. There have been a lot of men and women who have accomplished great things for the kingdom, but their downfall was their pride. My friends, God and God alone is our source. God and God alone. The Bible says that your very best efforts, my very best efforts, my very, very best is like garbage. It's like filthy rags in the presence of Almighty God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do our very best. That doesn't mean that you just think, well, this is worthless. No, it's not. God works powerfully through you when you're submitted to him. But do not let pride enter in. The glory is all his. Second thing that can destroy our testimony is comparing yourself to other people. Comparing yourself to others. Now, this is something we've talked many times about here at RLC. Comparing your life, comparing your experiences, even your walk with the Lord with someone else is an exercise in futility. Why? Because God created you unique. There's no one else like you. I say this at almost every wedding I perform. I tell them, you know, around the world, in virtually every culture, when a man and a woman want to get married, it's a very special time and everything comes to a stop and we honor and we bless them. But I also remind them, this day is completely unique because there's no one just like you. My friends, you are special. You are unique. But nothing good can be gained when we are trying to compare ourselves to others. Your walk is completely unique. Your experiences, the things you've dealt with, how you were raised, your temperament, your personality, all of those things make you who you are. And to look at someone else and to say, man, I wish I was like them. No, you don't. You need to be who you are. Who did God call you to be? God loves variety. Consider our creation that he gave us, the creation of God that we live in. Now, I'm not huge on statistics because you can make these things say anything you want them to. And this particular statistic, I was looking this all up and trying to find things that would corroborate and see. It is all over the board. So I just picked one. Stay with me, all right? I'm not feeding you anything here wrong. But talk about the variety of God's creation. Scientists estimate, and again, these numbers are varied, that there are somewhere between 6.5 and 8.5 million different species that inhabit this planet. But most scientists agree we don't even know what half of them are, and that number could be much greater than that. But we're looking at how God loves variety. Invertebrates, things like insects. When I get to heaven, I want to know why there are fleas. Somebody help me with this. Does anybody know any good thing about fleas? I'm sure, Bill, you had an answer for that, and I wasn't even going to look over at you. Bill has the answer for all of this kind of stuff. But insects and things like mollusks and sponges, that's the vast majority. 7.5 million of that number are insects and all of those kind of invertebrates. Vertebrates, which are mammals, birds, reptiles, fish, they estimate around 66,000 different species, and a much greater number than that are already extinct. We don't even see them anymore. Plants, flowering, ferns, mosses, 300,000 different species of those. I mean, every fingerprint is different. Every iris is different. No two snowflakes that fall are identical. God loves variety. That's why he created you to be you. But when you start comparing yourself, you begin to doubt who it is that God's created you to be. Your testimony, you're going, man, nobody wants to hear this. Did you hear what that guy got up and said? Listen to their story. I can't go up and follow that. Your story is unique. It's inspired by God's love for you. And you never want to compare that with the people around you. It only leads to envy and jealousy. It leads to a loss of self-worth and self-value. And that's not what's most important, because our value, church, is not even in ourselves. Our value is who we are in him. He is my value. He is what gives me worth in my life and gives you worth in yours. Don't compare yourselves to other people. Your story is vitally important. The third thing then is when you lie to yourself. When you're lying to yourself. How many times have you heard someone say, now look, I want you to be honest with me. That's never a good way to start a conversation, I don't think. Now you gotta be honest with me. Because honesty, obviously, it's vitally important in any relationship. And without it, you can't have trust. There's no foundation for the relationship to grow. You need to be honest. But my question for us this morning is, how honest are we with ourselves? Are you truly honest about your life this morning? Because justification is such an easy thing to do when you're doing something that you really like that you know you probably shouldn't be. We dabble in things here and there. It's not a big deal. I can handle this. And we lie to ourselves. To be honest about our spiritual condition, what is your relationship with the Father this morning? What place does God have in your life? Because anything that you give greater importance to than God is now, it's not a good word, church, but it's the truth, this is your idol. This is idolatry when you have anything in your life that is greater than God. To be honest with yourself. Again, we justify the things that we do. I don't have a problem with drinking. It's just a social thing. It's just social. I don't have a problem with gossip. I just want people to know that I care so I can pray for them better. It's not gossip. I don't have a problem with lying. I just want to spare their feelings. These are the kinds of things that we say to ourselves. And that is why in Matthew 7:3, Jesus asked this question. He said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but you pay no attention to the plank in your own? Now, the front lesson of this is that we should not judge other people. But I believe Jesus is also saying that we must be aware of and honest about the things that we're dealing with in our own life. And see, that's why a church family becomes important. Because when you realize you've got a real problem, you can know that you're not going to be judged for that. We do not sit in judgment of each other. Because I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's who I am. I am not your judge. I want to encourage you. I want to love you. I want to care for you in whatever way you desire, but I am not your judge. And may I say, I don't believe other people in this church will judge you either. That's why if you're lying to yourself, you're likely not walking in accountability with anyone. It's so important, church, to do that, to allow people to be able to speak into your lives. Because if you're lying to yourself, there's a good chance that there's something going on that you know should not be. And God wants us to surrender those things to Him. But you know, that also goes back to pride. Because I don't want people to know that I don't have it all together. I want people to think that, man, I've got this in lockstep. I know exactly what's going on. I've got it under control. I can handle it. And men, we're the worst at this. Because everybody needs to know I'm in control. If you lie to yourself, you're going to be not seeing the things that God wants you to be aware of. And it's going to affect your testimony. Here's the last one. You can do more damage to your testimony through pride. Do damage to your testimony by lying to yourself. Do damage to your testimony by realizing that the things that are going on around you are things that you need to be a part of, and I start comparing myself to other people. But the last one is this. We damage our testimony when we are living with known sin. When you are living your life with known sin. Now notice I put that word in there because I think we all know that we do the things that we shouldn't. We don't do the things that we should. The Apostle Paul says that. It's part of the struggle of the spirit and the flesh. But there are times when there are things going on in our lives that we know we should not be doing. We should not be involved. And pride is the place where this lives, because I don't want to admit that I'm in this place. I don't want to admit that that's going on. There are countless examples in the Bible. I shared with you King Herod. Samson, I think, was another one. He always found himself in terrible places because of the pride of his life, man. He had the hair going. He had the hair. Vance, sorry, I probably shouldn't have come to you on that. There was pride in Samson's life. But in these cases, I believe it was much more about the condition of their heart than it was about what they were doing. Let me read you what Billy Graham said about sin. He said, when we use the word sin, we usually think of our misdeeds, our actions, or the habits that we know are wrong. That's what people think of. But these are just the specific sins, and they're a result of the sin, the deep spiritual disease that affects every one of our hearts. Sin is the cause. Sins are the effect. Sin is the tree. Sins are the fruit of that tree. Sin is the disease. Our sins are the symptoms. And to ignore sin in your life, church, is to jeopardize all that God desires to do in and through you. And that includes your testimony. Unfortunately, we got plenty of examples of these too. Jim Baker was a man that served the Lord most of his life and in some very powerful ways. The problem is, I think, he got real successful. He got real famous and he got real rich. And because of that, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he began to mislead and manipulate the very people that he was supposed to be pointing to the cross. He ended up getting arrested and spending time in jail. Jimmy Swaggart's another name like that. He died just July 1st, I think, of this year. He just passed away. Again, very well known. In the 80s, he had some of the biggest conferences and the things that were going on. Massive television ministry. Did some good things for the kingdom, but he became unaccountable. And because of the success that he had, he took his eyes off of Jesus and put them on himself. Nobody could tell him what to do. And he was arrested and taken, had all kinds of problems with prostitutes and living in a way that was completely ungodly. And I know both of these men ended back on television again, and they ended up back in ministry. I don't know how many of you read Jim Baker's book. I bought it just because of the title. The title said, "I Was Wrong." Okay, let me read this and see if he truly, and he did. I think he got humbled by God. And I'm believing both of them were restored to God in a right way, that they dealt with those consequences and recognized and understood the sin that had come into their lives of taking their eyes off of him and putting them on themselves. There's one that's a little closer to home for me. I got my degrees from Liberty University online, did it all at home. But while I was pursuing the first one, Jerry Falwell, is that right? Is it Jerry Falwell? Jerry Falwell Jr. was the president of the school. And it became known that he was living very amorally, that he was doing things that you just absolutely cannot and should not do. Not because you're the president of a major university, but because as a child of God, I don't live this way. But he was, and it was found out. And it cost him his position, it cost him his reputation and his testimony, and it damaged for a while an institution that has been used of God since the 70s to send people out to minister the gospel. But look at what Ryan read in Galatians 6:7. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." In other words, those who claim to be a child of God while at the same time sowing to please their sinful nature are mocking and despising God. And church, I'm not suggesting there's anyone sitting in this room right now that is doing that, but their capability of it is there, and we cannot let down our guard. We guard who we are in Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say in verse 8, "The one who sows to please that sinful nature will reap destruction." And that's what happens every single time. I said this at the beginning of the service, and I'll say it again. You can take a lifetime to build your testimony, and you can destroy it in 5 minutes by allowing your known actions of sin to remain in your life. My friends, your testimony is just that. It's yours. It's powerful. It's the evidence of God working in your life. And it's a story that should reflect His goodness to you. But you have to protect it. You have to guard it. Pride will kill your testimony. There's no value in comparing yourselves to other people. You must be honest with yourself. Submit yourselves to others to be accountable. And you cannot allow known sin to be a part of your life. Now, next week, we are all going to have the privilege of hearing some of your stories. But keep in mind what we talked about these past two Sundays, even as you prepare to share what God has done. You're not coming up here to say, "I got this handled now. I'm good. Everything's fine in my life." No, it's not. The enemy is still working. He gives us the power and the authority and the grace and the mercy to be able to go from circumstance to circumstance in our lives, praying that it's in victory. But even in the times when we get knocked down, even when we're dealing with those things that there just does not seem to be an answer, I do this living to glorify Him, even in the midst of those storms. I can't wait for next week. And I pray, too, that some of you are not going to allow your nerves, not going to allow your fears, if you will. And listen, I get that. I've shared this with you so many times. They do those lists that say greatest fears that people have. Public speaking is like always in the top three. I understand that. But you'll be coming up and sharing your story, the power of what God's doing with a group of people that love you and are excited about hearing what it is that God's doing in and through you. To be able to share your story is one of the greatest privileges I think a Christian can have, because it allows you to be able to point that person to one and one thing only, and that's the love of God. And I'm praying that next week, again, that you're going to be bold. Our service is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be almost a little more like the Christmas service, where we're going to interspace music throughout the service rather than do our music and just, okay, come up and talk, all of you right now. Not going to do that. We're going to sing some in the beginning, then we'll have some time of testimony. We'll sing again. We'll take a little bit of a break time together in fellowship. That's always important. We'll sing again, then we're going to have another segment of testimony. So you're going to get an opportunity to listen. I'll give you an opportunity to obey if God calls you up. But I can promise you this, what you say is going to have impact in someone's life. So be bold. Understand and know you're forgiven. You don't have to be perfect. But God has created a story in you that is important for the kingdom. Let's pray together. Well, Father, I thank you for the truth of your word this morning. And I thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you don't turn your backs on us when we fail, when we walk into sin, walk into things that we know we should not be doing. You still love us. And when we humble ourselves and confess that sin, when we ask for your forgiveness, the word tells us that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. But Father, teach us how to learn from those things so that we will not allow them to become a part of our lives. Father, I thank you for each and every person here. I pray your blessing over them. I thank you, God, for those that will be sharing next week. And God, I pray we just run out of time. I pray we've got to go live. I pray we got to do another one too soon because not everybody got to speak. God, whatever it is that you want to do, we just look forward to sharing that time together. And now I pray, God bless you as you leave. God watch over you. And until we come again, may all things that we do and say bring glory and honor to our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things. Amen. Amen.